brief time this evening, I'd like to continue our study. As was mentioned on the parables, we'll be continuing that with the parable of the persistent widow. If you'd like to follow along, we're taking a reading from Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 1. It's a fairly short passage. This lesson won't be super long, but I think it's something we're all fairly familiar with. I think there are some very good lessons that can be gleaned from this scripture here and this teaching of Jesus. So in Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 1, it reads, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" There's many passages. I'm sure all of us have some that we've read we wish was a little more clear, that it was a little more specific on what it means. And I don't believe that this passage is overly complicated, but we do have in the very first verse given to us what Jesus is intending for this passage to teach us. It says that he told in this parable that they would always, that men would always pray and they would not lose heart. In order to teach this, the importance of this, that we should always pray and we should not lose heart as we go through this life, we have a picture painted for us in this story. I'm not sure if this is a true story, if this is just a tale that he had to help get across a point, but nevertheless, there was once, we're told, in a city there was a widow, and there had been some wrong done to her, and through a little word study there, it would lead one to believe this is some matter of law, that she had been wronged and been taken advantage of in some way, and she was seeking things to be righted by the judge in this city. She comes to him and asks that he make the verdict against the one who has wronged her and make things right. And I'd like to point out, I think this is also fairly apparent, but some parables are used to draw a parallel between a person or situation there and a parallel between that and to God or Christ. And this, I believe, like I said, is fairly apparent, but this is not a parable of that likeness. This is a parable of contrast. This is depicting the nature of God, in stark contrast with that of the judge and the character that he shows in this parable. So just as we have been given the opportunity to go before our judge, that is God, and approach his throne and petition on any grievances that we may have, that's what this woman has done as well. The contrast, firstly, is that we don't have to wait. I don't know what the process was here for her. There were certain days of the week or certain times she had to wait in line or she had to make an appointment, but she had to go before the judge to seek his counsel and to ask him to do this for her, that this wrong would be made right. And today the contrast is we don't have to go through whatever she may have had to go through to go before him. We have instant access to our judge. We can, at any moment, we can go to our Father in prayer and have immediate access to him and petition him. Also, from our judge, we're told here that this judge had no regard for God nor from man. And our judge, of course, is God. And we know that he does care for us very much. We are very blessed. We have a judge that is so accommodating and willing to bear with us and to hear our case and to help us. Earlier in the book of Luke, in chapter 12, verse 7, Jesus tells the disciples that God does not forget even a single sparrow, and beyond that, the very hairs of our heads are numbered. So that God loves us immensely and cares for us very much. We're told that after the widow had pestered the judge for some time, that he began to grow weary with her. And I believe it's interesting that we have told to our, and we, Jesus gets into this a little bit later, but we have told here what he says to himself. The judge says to himself that even though I do not fear God nor regard man, giving us exactly what his thoughts were and what his attitude was towards that. There was no compassion shown towards the widow. It was truly just for his own convenience to try to stop something that was annoying him. He did not do this because she needed something. There was someone in need that he could assist that had been wronged, and it was his job to make that right. He did not do it because he knew it was what God would have wanted to be done. He did it specifically for his own gain, that he would stop being pestered by this widow. And you know, today we have a different judge ourselves. In Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, it reads, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Our judge cares for us. God wants us to come to him in prayer. We're expected to come to him in prayer. Philippians 4 and 4, you can read there, we are expected that we are to go to him in prayer. And once again, in contrast with this judge, God does not just answer prayers because we have consistently asked him for a specific thing. Although how often, myself included, we find ourselves that maybe when we are more inclined to pray to him, when we may be in need more financially or ask for help for something that's going on at work or in our personal lives, for some emotional need that we have, when things are going poorly, we tend to run to him quicker at times, it seems. And when things are going well, how often do we thank him for those things? How often do we continue to ask for his blessings on us for spiritual things in the bad times as well as in the good? But God does not give us what we desire, as this judge did, basically. And that's the contrast there. It's basically because we have asked him numerous times and continue to ask him, and he gets tired of us asking because we want it badly. Because we pray every day for this thing. But we are told numerous times that he will be there for us. Lamentations 3 and 25 through 26 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth." We are expected to wait with him and wait quietly, to be patient. And are we patient with God? Or do we expect him to answer our prayers now? Is our prayer life approached in such a manner that we treat prayer more as a genie in a bottle than prayers to an almighty God? Or that if we think we are relatively good by maybe our own standards, and if we want something bad enough and we feel that we may be able to justify why we think that we need it, and we pray for it enough, that we will get it. And that is not how prayer works, and that is not what prayer is for. Yes, we do have that avenue to ask for things that we need, but that is the majority of what we ask for. And as I said, sometimes I think I find myself falling into that as well. And I think we have missed the point of why we have prayer and what the purpose of prayer is. But sometimes God answering prayers looks a lot like no. We read often of how his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts our thoughts. But we think we may not be what we really need. And I will not stand here and pretend that I understand everything about prayer and the will of God, how it's exercised, his will is exercised through prayer, and because I don't understand how all of that works. But I do understand through this passage that sheer volume of prayer with the hopes of just wearing God down is not the way. Then Jesus tells those that were there to hear and understand what the unjust judge said. He wanted them to pause a moment, I believe, and to really understand what the unjust judge said. Because after the widow had come to him, the unjust judge said, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." He wants them to understand for a moment what it was that the attitude that he came at this with, how this widow's judge treated her. And then Jesus goes on to say, "Shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" So even though we're not to expect that just a vast volume of prayers would change God's mind, maybe as it were, we are expected to pray to him continually, ask for those things in which we need, and for help when we need help spiritually. Paul prayed to God multiple times as we have read, for the removal of his affliction. And God said no, because it served a purpose. But we see he did pray for it continually. It does us good at times to suffer. We grow from some suffering. But Jesus says that God bears long with us. Even after all the things that we do, as we sin against him and as we trespass against him and go against his will, God bears long with us. And even though he bears with us, for those who are of his elect and who cry out to him when we do need him, we're told that he will avenge us speedily. God will provide for us that which we need. And while we may suffer, he will bear with us in our suffering. This is another contrast in the story as to the widow that here that I think is interesting, that she had no one there to intercede for her. She had no one and nothing that we're told of. It was on her to go to him and try to make him see her case. But we, on the other hand, we do have someone there to help go with us before God. Jesus Christ, who we're told makes intercession for us, he is our advocate to the Father. Not only do we have someone to make intercession for us, but the widow had no hope that her situation would be resolved, that she would be taken seriously, that she would even be allowed to be in the presence of the judge to be heard. But we do have all of those things. And we are told that for those who are God's elect to cry out day and night, that we will be avenged and be avenged speedily. Now, as we have pointed out, an answered prayer is not always what we may like it to be. Even Christ prayed in the garden that the cup that which he was to partake of would pass from him. Do not think that Jesus had prayed before this time about this issue, what he knew was coming. You don't think that he had gone to the Father prior to this time or before the night that he would be betrayed. Do not think that he also prayed fervently and urgently. We're told that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under such tremendous strain at this time. But in his prayer, we read that Christ prayed, but not as I will, but as you will. We will be avenged speedily, but also as it pertains to God's will. There are a few criteria in that verse, I believe, that go along with this. We're told it says, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? First off, are we his elect? Are we God's chosen? Are we his people? We are here this evening. We're here in this service. Are we his people? Do we study his word and strive to gain greater knowledge and wisdom from it? Do we pray for wisdom as well? Do we practice what we preach? And do we strive to help other lost souls to be saved? Are we the type of Christians that he expects us to be? Do we cry out day and night to him? Do we pray fervently? I don't believe this. We're expected to pray 24 hours a day, but are we in the habit spiritually of praying to God throughout our day, throughout our week, and not just at breakfast and at supper, at mealtime? So we really take time to pray. Do we seek his counsel and his guidance? These are requirements that we read here in this same verse. Do we meet these requirements? Or are we a pray twice a day at meals and when we want something and I would like to have that now, please, and I will study the Bible and do Christian things when it's convenient, a type of people? Because if we are, I believe we should check ourselves on what we think that we really are entitled to and what we should expect God to answer. How can we expect our prayers to be taken seriously when sometimes we do not even take them seriously ourselves? But I don't believe it's a coincidence that after all this, him telling us what is offered to us if we are his elect, if we pray to him, if we seek him fervently. And next Jesus says, nevertheless, or in spite of that, in spite of what has been given to us, this avenue that we have, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This is referring to Christ, when Christ comes back on the day of judgment. But as we have, no, this passage was to help us to see that we should pray and that we should not lose heart. We should not lose heart that we have someone there who will help us. You know, in the end, we will go before a judge and we will be judged on how we have lived our lives, if we have been faithful and true to God and to His Word. If we've done our best to live according to the example we've been given to us in Jesus Christ. But that same judge who would judge us is also available to us prior to that. We can pray, we can go to Him in prayer. We can read His Word and see what things we need to do and how we should act and how we should live our lives that we may be found faithful on that day. We can go to Him and ask that He be with us. This is a great hope that we have. This is a great thing that's been given to us to help us not to lose heart, and we should be in constant prayer. And with this great gift, Christ is saying, even with this, in spite of all this that's been given, I believe also knowing that it's at times it's hard for us as humans to understand the love that Christ has for us to fully comprehend. But He says, will He find faith on the earth? Will we have taken this that has been given to us, and we use this avenue of prayer to pray to God and to do so consistently that we may be able to sustain and grow our faith? When He comes back, will He find this has been squandered and our strength and the strength of our faith is fading and dwindling as a result? But He wants us to not lose heart and to endure to the end. Once again, in contrast with the unjust judge, as I close my thoughts this evening, I know it's been brief, but even if he, for his own gain, could be persuaded to hear the plea of a widow, how much more then, I believe is also asked in this passage, how much more than a just judge, a righteous judge, and how much more so our Father, which is in heaven, from a truly faithful Christian? These are my thoughts on this passage this evening. I hope something. Hope that everything that's been said has been truthful, has been accurate. I hope that something that's been said has helped to encourage us. I never want to close the service without offering the invitation. If there's anyone who may have fallen away, who may need the prayers of the church, who may not have may been acting as a Christian should, we'd be more than happy to pray with you and for you. Or maybe you haven't come to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the Lord's church. We'd be more than happy to assist you in that as well if you would come as we stand and as we sing.